The title, it's just hold on to, and I'm gonna talk about during the time of storm, hold on to three things. Okay, hold on to what should we hold on to during the time of storms? Point number one, hold on to truth. Right? Hold on to truth. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, then you will know the truth, and truth will set you free. Bondage is because we're holding on to a lie instead of truth. That's what bondage is. If we are in debt, that means we're in bondage, if we're in debt. And so, but when we're in debt, there's a lie that we could be holding on to. For example, I can keep charging it without any consequences. It's a lie. That's a lie. You see something, you say, I have to have that. My life will not be happy if I don't have that. And that's could be a lie. Or you might be saying, I don't have to change my lifestyle because I can handle this debt. I could just ignore it and it'll go away. Those are lies. And when there's a because of rejection and hurt, bitterness and resentment forms in our heart, we hold on to lies. That hurt, that rejection, might be truth. But when bitterness and resentment develops in our heart, what happens is we play stories in our mind. And without realizing it, that with that hurt, when there's bitterness and resentment that develop, lies develop in our stories. And the stories keep growing. It's like gasoline to a fire until it becomes very destructive in our life. A stronghold develop and there's bondage in our life. Again, much of the bondage in our life is because we lie to ourselves. People lie to us, the world lies to us, and the devil lies to us. And so this is the reason as a church, you and I need to hold on to scripture. Okay, we need to hold on to scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed, is inspired by God, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. What it says, the scripture, it helps us walk out the right path. It shows us where we walk and how to stay on that path. When we get off the path, scripture shows us how to get back on the path. What it's saying is, scripture sets us free. Truth sets us free. We need to meditate on scripture. We need to study scripture. We need to talk about it with one another. We need to practice and live out scripture. But I want to add one more very important thing about scripture that's not talked about much, but this is so important. Okay? We need to do all those things, but one very important thing when it comes to scripture is this. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide and reveal the truth to us. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit to help us practice and walk out, live out scripture in us. Okay? The New Testament church, that was the difference. New Testament church, when they got the letters from Paul, they would copy it. Right? And they would together, they will study it. But the New Testament church knew when they did that, the Holy Spirit will help them. Holy Spirit will help give them discernment. The Holy Spirit will, show, give them revelation and the anointing to walk out the scripture. And so, New Testament church, they didn't have commentaries. When I went to seminary, I was so scared about misinterpreting the scripture. What happened was that I bought so many commentaries. And at the peak, I think I must have had like $800 to $1,000 worth of commentaries. And you know, it's so funny when you see other pastors preach on Zoom or streaming from their office. I always see books. They have books after books after books. You know, but when you look at my office, I have no books. Okay, I have no books. And not that again. I don't like him, but I read a lot of those commentaries, and it did help me. But what I realized more than the commentary, I need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Because when I read three or four different commentary on one passage, you know what I found out? They all have different interpretation. You know, they all had different interpretation, their own personal feelings on it. Yeah. And as I read it, you know, now more than ever, I depend on the Holy Spirit to help me understand and know and live out Scripture. As you study and meditate on Scripture, please ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you. This was after I became a Christian. That was my daily prayer. Holy Spirit, help me to know your word. Hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That was my daily prayer throughout college. Ask the Holy Spirit to make the word of God personal and powerful in your life. Okay? Amen? Number two, hold on to one another. Okay, in the time of storm, hold on to one another. You know, love each other. Respect each other, value one another. Church doesn't grow because of one person. If it does, that's a very unhealthy church. Healthy, powerful church know how to value one another. You need one another to overcome difficult time. You know, God gave us one another to help each other through time as this, such as time as this. We pray and ask God to help us in difficult time. And humanly, we think, you know, God will help us by changing the circumstances. But God answers that prayer by giving us each other. You need one another to have a joyful life. You know, we're all seeking joy in life, but God gave us one another to find that joy. You need friendship to enjoy life. You need deep relationship to enjoy life. You know, you could have a lot of money, a big house, a good job. But I said before, if relationship stinks, life stinks. Nothing can compensate for lack of good relationship. God gave us one another to accomplish great things. God gave us one another to overcome the storms that this world's going through right now. God gave us one another to reach the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, it talks about love, and it's not automatic. And, you know, if you look at 1 Corinthians, it takes, I believe, to do all those things, it takes time. You have to work at it. You can't give up on it. You have to be proactive. You have to be intentional. When disappointed, when offended, you keep no record of wrong. When we fall, we help each other. The Bible says, carry each other's burden. It says it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. And I want us to proclaim that. You see, look at one another here, okay, and this Zoom worship. Look at one another, put yourself in gallery view. And let's proclaim this about our church, that we're going to love each other. Okay, repeat this with me. I will protect you. Say that. Proclaim that to one another. I will protect you. I will trust you.
I will trust you.
I will trust you.
I will hope in you. Okay? And say, I will not give up on you. Okay? We're saying this to one another. I will not give up on you. Okay? So hold on to, you know, one another. Number three, hold on to supernatural work of God in you. The supernatural work of God in you. I was meditating on Mark chapter 6 this week, and And in that chapter, what happens is Jesus sent out his 12 disciples into the villages. And the 12 disciples in the villages, they preach, they heal the sick, they cast out demons. That's what verse 12 and verse 13 says. Okay? And they were tired. And Jesus saw that they were tired. So Jesus was going to take them to a quiet place and give his disciples rest. But that did not happen because people saw where they were, and then the news starts spreading, and thousands of people chased after them to the place where they were, I believe, going to rest. It was, it was kind of, I believe, middle of nowhere, you know. They all came there. So instead of resting, they had to do more ministry. And I think they minister all day. And the disciples asked Jesus to send the crowd away, send them away so that they could find something to eat in the nearby villages, you know? And Jesus shocks the disciples because he tells them, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Here's the thing. They were empty. They were tired. I believe they didn't have anything left. They felt overwhelmed, and I believe they were. They felt this is what they felt, and this the reason I'm sharing this passage is I feel like this is where a lot of people are. I think they were saying too much. This is too much. They probably felt angry, frustrated, and upset. And I believe if I was there, I would be upset with Jesus. You know, I would be upset with Jesus, and they were probably upset with Jesus. Jesus was supposed to take them to a quiet place and rest, but no. Instead, they had to do more ministry. And now he is asking them to feed the 5,000. Right? So in this passage, what happened? A boy gives 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the scripture says Jesus divided those 5 loaves and 2 fish. He divided. It must have been pretty small, you know, because he had to divide it into 12 different pieces, you know, to divide among the disciples. But that's what the Bible says. And then he gave it to them, and he told the disciple to distribute that to the people. And as they were handing out the food, I believe that's when it started to multiply. And it had to continue to multiply. Why? Whatever they had, okay? Because at the end it says 12, they brought back 12 baskets full of food. It was full. And they all had a basket to go into the crowd and give. No matter how much they gave it out, there's no way they could have done it in one fill basket. It had to continues to be filled. It had to continuously multiply. That basket had to continuously multiply to feed 5,000 people. The food had to supernaturally multiply. When? As the disciple were distributing it. As the disciples were distributing it. So here's my point. Jesus knew the disciples were tired, empty, frustrated, and upset. When God was asking them to feed the 5,000, God wasn't asking his disciple to do more, give more, be less selfish. That's not what he was asking them to do. What God wanted to do, God wanted to anoint them, fill them with his power. God wanted to do miracle through his disciples. God wanted to release the supernatural work in them. So, you and I, I'm tired. I'm just being honest. I'm tired, you know. I have to go to California right after the second service for the AMI pastor's meeting. And because I'm in California, I'm going to have to spend some time with my mom. And that always just being that always trains me a lot, you know. And you know, at the AMI lead pastors meeting, you know, it's just meeting all day, meeting all day. And you feel life is too hard, it's too much, not enough. You feel like I don't have enough, I'm lacking. You feel tired, frustrated, and even depressed. God's not asking you to do more or give more or to sacrifice more. And this is the point of the third point. God wants to anoint you with a supernatural power. God wants to anoint you with a supernatural power. And his people said, Amen.